our God. And who is a rock except our God?
Prepare yourselves. For the next hour, you will experience rock and roll for your soul. Music so intense, you will find yourself asking,
is this really Christian?
Yes, it is. And now, for the host of My Dad Rock Experience, Pastor Alan Ward.
Hello and welcome to the Hour of Power, your weekly dose of rock and roll for your soul. For the next 56 minutes, you'll hear mind-blowing, earth-shattering, life-changing, soul-healing rock and roll truths that will rock your world if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. I've got some great music from the 80s and 90s this afternoon, but more importantly, I have a great message from God's Word that you need to hear. Now, our theme today is going to be coming from Isaiah 45, verses 22 and 23, which says, "Turn to me," this is God speaking, "turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am the God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and I will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance." You know, only God can save and only God can command that every knee will bow and every tongue to swear allegiance to him. And that is because God is the King of Kings, as Baron Cross sings for us.
Thank you.
today, Baron Cross, King of Kings, a great band from the 80s. And I hear talk they're trying to get back together again and do some things. But listen, before I go any further, I failed to mention my special guest today with me in the studio, my third oldest daughter, Hattie Grace Ward. Hattie, I apologize unreservedly for forgetting to mention your name. Please forgive me, dear. Anyways, back to Baron Cross and King of Kings. You know what? Jesus is called the King of Kings in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and verse 14. And therefore, Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, which is exactly what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 45, the verse we opened up the show with today. Now, you can bow now, or you can bow later, but you will bow before Jesus Christ. If you submit to him now, then you will reign with Christ for all eternity. But if you refuse to submit to Jesus Christ now, if you refuse to bow in your heart to him on earth, then you will be among those who, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:9, will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Well, next is Vision singing a song for us from the early 80s, "You Are My Only Lord."
My trouble and conquerors, you made it through.
And that was Vision with You Are My Only Lord. You know, that's what they sang in there. You are my only Lord. You are the one that I always serve. You know, Israel was commanded, and all mankind was commanded for that matter, in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3 in the Ten Commandments. God said, "You shall have no other gods before me." Israel was always falling into idolatry and worshiping the idols of the nations around them. Now, today, most people don't worship a literal idol made out of wood or stone or metal, but we do worship idols in our hearts, idols of the heart. You know, things that we think will satisfy our desires for happiness. There are, you know, many idols that we worship and we don't realize it. Idols: sex, drugs, rock and roll, alcohol, money, fame, pleasure, comfort, luxury. All these things are idols that we worship and serve in our hearts. And many people devote their lives to these idols of the heart. And guess what? If you are not devoted to God, then you are devoted to one or several different of these idols of the heart. And that's not good. God has made one thing perfectly clear, as he said earlier, "You shall have no other gods before me." And he's also said this in Isaiah 42:8, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images." Living in the lusts and desires of our flesh and minds is living in idolatry from God's perspective. And the Apostle Paul called it that in Colossians 3:5. He says, "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality," that's sexual immorality, "impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry." He called it idolatry, those things. Well, why? Well, because we're really just worshiping one idol, and that's ourselves. The Bible says in Romans 1:25, "For they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore." See, we are self-worshippers, and we are the idol. You know, if you have not submitted your life to Jesus Christ, then you're still worshiping and serving yourself. And in God's sight, you're still practicing idolatry, and those who practice idolatry will not enter God's kingdom according to the Bible.
I'm sorry, but you know it's not the same, 'cause His glory shines forever. If you're lonely and you wanna know the way, there's one only way to get. And I know your word is true. Above you, there is nothing. I won't take no substitute. Only He can satisfy. I'm gonna live my life by the truth. I'll trust in Jesus Christ. Okay. And you wanna know.
is joy and love can change you. But I said, I won't take no substitute. Only he can satisfy. I'm gonna live my life by the truth. I'll trust in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hey, that was the Daniel Band with their song I'm Sorry from the early 80s Canadian Christian rock band. You know, they sang in that song, if you're standing on the rock, the winds will never break you. You know what they're talking about there? They're talking about what Jesus said over in Matthew 7:24-27. He said this, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the winds came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. You know, what are you building your life upon right now? Because the house is sort of symbolizes your life. What are you building your life on right now? Is it the rock of Christ's teachings, or is it the sands of your own understanding? You know, the Bible warns us about that in Proverbs 3:5-7. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your straight your paths. And he says, be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The Bible is very clear that we can't trust our own hearts, our own understandings of life. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Our hearts are very good at providing us with justifications and excuses for our sins. That's why Solomon warned us in Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts his own heart is a fool. You know, we can't trust what our hearts tell us, but we can trust what God tells us through his word. The Bible has a way of unmasking that deception of our heart. It says this in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see, that's why most people get upset when people share the word of God with them, because the word of God judges their hearts. It's not the people, it's the word of God that does that. But people get upset about that, and they shrink away from that. They don't like having their hearts exposed to the light of God's word. You know, Jesus spoke about that in John 3:19-20. He said, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it might be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You know, which one of those reactions do you have to the word of God? That's truly what reveals where you stand with God. You know, do you go to church so that you can be in the light of God's word, or do you shy away from it? Many claim they're a Christian, but very few actually do what Jesus says. And Jesus asked us the same question that he asked those in his day. In Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Hey, that was Shout with Living for My Lord. You know, we talked, I talked with Hattie here just in the song and asked her if she thought it was hard to live for the Lord. And she said, yeah, it's very hard, but it's worth it. And then she said, but doing what you want to do isn't worth it. And boy, that's true, isn't it? If you've lived any amount of time in this life, you probably experienced that, though you may not realize it, that doing what you want, getting your way, really never satisfies. It's only in doing what God wants you to do and living the way God wants you to that will satisfy you. And that's what Shout was singing about. Ken Taplin, they were singing about that in that. But you know what? Somebody else had learned that lesson, too, a long time ago. His name was the Apostle Paul. And he said this in Philippians 1, 20 through 21. It's my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, Paul was consumed with glorifying Christ. He was living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what are you consumed with? What controls you? Is it Jesus Christ or something else? What are you living for? Well, Mastodon tells us what they're living for in their song, Living for You.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, it was Mastodon, Living for You. You know, okay, I can see going to church and giving God the credit for this and for that. You know, I get a big catch. Oh, I just want to thank God. You know, our score touchdown. Hey, the man upstairs, I want to thank him. I can understand that. But living my life for Jesus Christ, I mean, being consumed with him like Paul was, come on, does God really expect me to live that way? Does he really expect me to be consumed with him? Well, let the Bible answer that for you. Mark 12:30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the greatest commandment, Jesus said. If you break the greatest commandment, then you've committed the greatest sin. And if you've committed the greatest sin, then you deserve the greatest punishment. And that's why there is a place called hell that burns forever and ever with fire. And God is the greatest of all beings, and therefore he is worthy of the greatest honor. And he is worthy for us to devote our entire lives to him. He's worthy for us to be consumed with him. But what about the things I want to do and experience? You know, I've got a life. I want to live it. Well, that's true. But Jesus said this in Matthew 16:25-26. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? You know, you can go out and experience all you want to experience this life. You could gain the whole world, but what does it profit you if you die and go to hell? It profits you nothing. Well, how will I find my life if I lose it? That's what Jesus said. Well, because life is having a relationship with God. And if you live for Christ, then you will experience what Jesus talked about in John 10:10. I've come that you might have an abundant life. You will experience the kind of life God always intended for you to live. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you will never truly live until you live for Christ. Let's listen to Guardians sing about their desire to serve the Lord and to live for him. Hey, that was Guardian. Send a message. I'm going to live my life for you. Do anything you want me to, is what they said, speaking to God. Well, is that the place you've come to in your life? Or are you still living for yourself? You're still calling the shots. Aren't you tired of that by now? I mean, haven't you found out that that doesn't really work yet? Are you still in kind of denial and being deceived by the devil's lies that that'll work for you? It didn't work with Adam and Eve. That's what got us into this whole mess in the first place. It's never worked for the thousands of years that we've been around, and it's never going to work because only living for God is going to work to satisfy our souls. They sang in that song, I get tired of people pleasing the same old rhyme and reason. You know, when you live to make other people happy or you live to make people like you, boy, that's a trap. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. It says the fear of man, that is living with respect to people and trying to get them to like you, is a snare. Boy, that's not a good way to live. But Paul said he lived to please God. Well, if you please God, you generally please other people. And those who aren't don't like you living for God, at least they respect you because of it. They may disagree with you, but at least they respect it. We need to live for God. We need to be in His majesty's service, as Jerusalem sings about. Hey, Jerusalem, in His Majesty's Service, our Christian brothers and a band from Sweden many years ago, back in the early 80s. A great band, though. Had a lot of good music they came out with. You know, a person who lives for Christ is in His Majesty's Service, as they sang. They're not living for themselves anymore. They're living for Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf, 2 Corinthians 5:15. You know, Christ calls people to a radical commitment there, to live for Him and not for themselves anymore. And that's why most people, when they're confronted with the truth of what Jesus actually demands of us, reject it, because it just seems too big for them, too serious, too much of a commitment. But the problem is this: to believe upon Christ is not an optional decision that you can take or leave. It's a command that you must obey. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, he said this: "The Lord Jesus will return, revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, and dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus." The gospel is to repent and believe in Jesus. And as Paul said over in Acts 17:30, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Now that Jesus has come, all men, every nation, tribe, and language are commanded by God to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And those who do not will be held accountable." And that's what X-Center sings about for us in their song, Accountable.
Yeah!
Accountable by Ex-Sinner. You know, the judgment is coming. We will all be held accountable for what we've done, thought, and said in this life. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul said this, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men," Paul said. You know, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for your life. And you will not be able to blame anyone but yourself for how you've lived. And James 1:13 tells us something. A lot of people like to blame the devil or blame other people, this, that, and the other. But listen to what God said in through the Apostle James in chapter 1, verse 13 of James. "Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." And you can't blame God. You can't blame the devil. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame your circumstances or anyone else. Because when you and I sin because we choose to do what we want to do. That's basically it. We choose to follow our own desires. And time is running out on us. Each day that passes is another day closer to the return of Jesus and that accountability, that judgment seat of Christ. Don't wait. Give your life to Christ. And that's going to do it for me today. I want to invite you out, Sandpoint Baptist Chapel Church, this morning, Sunday, 10 o'clock Bible study, 11 o'clock worship, 6:30 Bible study. Come out and see us at Sandpoint.